The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Here ends our text. It might make us all wonder why Jesus ever did make this trip back to his own hometown, knowing full well, probably, that they would also reject his message. As Jesus went back to Nazareth, that precipice still being very evident as one goes and visits, he did not receive a very good welcome. As Jesus came back to preach the gospel in his own hometown, he found himself being dragged to the edge of a precipice and being thrown off, almost. I started wondering what I should call, you know, you have to have a theme for your sermon, I guess. And I was wondering what I would call this sermon. And I thought maybe something along the lines of beware and don't interview. The second thought was maybe it should be something along the lines of don't ever take a call back to your home congregation. The third idea was to just simply say, watch out for the alligators and the rats. And of course, the fourth was the joy of preaching the gospel. And I decided to take the last two and to make them part one and part two, respectively. After I had been in the ministry for a while and somewhat perplexed by what it is that I had been experiencing, I came upon a book that seemed to be very helpful in gaining a rather bird's eye view of what exactly the ministry was all about. The book was written by James Clavell, the man who wrote Shogun. It was part of a trilogy and it was called King Rat. It was about a Japanese concentration camp and how these American soldiers had been brought into the Japanese concentration camp. There were some very good analogies that were helpful in understanding our greater task or our job as pastors. First of all, there was this hostility between the United States and Japan, a formal hostility. Secondly, there was this concentration camp where there was barbed wire, soldiers who were holding these prisoners in. And the third, and I think by far and above the most deceptive and beguiling of all the torments and pain that they probably experienced, those people inside the camp, was actually the type of social system that was developed amongst the prisoners themselves. And the book was named after the man who was at the head of that social system. He was what they called the King Rat. Of course, we see the parallels in the ministry, and Jesus also came to preach a freedom, and that freedom, in many respects, touched on all three aspects of imprisonment. When he arrived in Nazareth and he proclaimed freedom, he was also proclaiming a cessation of the hostilities that exist between God and man. What originally had brought about this fall was now being undone by his own appearance. The second thing that he came to do was to, in a sense, remove the barbed wire. It was the confinement of the law, the locking up of the law, which in one respect, I suppose, was a protection against the world as it would invade the camp, but also it was a confining thing which kept Israel underneath the law. And when he came to proclaim freedom to the captives, there was an undoing, there was a releasing from the law. But the third thing which he did, from which he experienced all this hostility from his own hometown people, is that when he arrived, those who were running the prison camp were the ones who didn't want to let that world change, because the world of the law gave them a preeminence, an importance, and even a so-called self-worth that they could not deal with. If, in fact, what he was saying was true. When Isaiah's words are quoted, they are quoted in the context of Isaiah's vision, where he sees and understands what was happening in Israel at the time. Ephraim was caught up and mired in what he calls the do and the do. Do this, do that, a little here, a little there. It was a formalistic piety that had no substance to it, that could not see the ultimate end for which God actually gave his word and for which he was going to be sending his Messiah. The whole point of religion is ultimately that God will himself come and be the one who will deliver us from our imprisonment, our confinement, our death, our sin, and all the other things that plague us. And the only ones who seem to really be able to appreciate that message are the ones who are the poor, the blind, the lame, namely those who are in that prison camp and find that grace is their only answer and their only hope. When Jesus entered into the prison camp, even that of his own hometown, he found himself being rejected by the SS, the sanctified society. And it is the SS that continues even today to keep our congregations, our church, and sometimes even our seminary in bondage. The privilege and the honor of the holy ministry is simply this, that we have the privilege and the honor of preaching the gospel. And when we preach the gospel, we have to understand that although it will not be every time in every place or at all times, there will also be opposition to that gospel because the gospel is so complete, so unbelievable, so high, so incomprehensible that people will not only not believe it, but they will also disbelieve it for the joy that it has. When Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," it makes us wonder, like the Ethiopian eunuch, who exactly Isaiah was speaking about. Was he speaking about himself or was he speaking about Christ? And the answer, and I always am very afraid when I'm in the midst of such wise and learned men, the answer is yes. It was Isaiah's proclamation, but it was, of course, Christ's proclamation, which, of course, becomes the proclamation of the holy ministry. When you get a call and you go to a congregation, it is the Spirit of Christ that descends upon you and which gives to you the authority to proclaim peace, freedom. And it is as simple as what happens when people are living in concentration camps. You are standing up and declaring a formal peace that God has in the resurrection of Christ declared that there is an end to all hostility, that there is no longer any adversity between yourself and God. It is a peace which is proclaimed, naming and defining and stating that there is no place for the barbed wire anymore, that we are indeed free. And that's a very hard one sometimes to get across to people when they are feeling the barbed wire because of their sins and their weaknesses and their failings. But it is also a peace which means that it is our job not to let those people fall victim and prey to those who would use the law, to use traditions of men, false forms of guilt and the bondage of enslavement. That's your job, to go out and to preach the gospel so that those people are free and that they understand that the gospel involves all these things. In the book, King Rat, at the very end of the book, it was an amazing thing. When the Americans showed up and threw open the gates and went to the prisoners and said, "You're free," do you know what they did? They didn't believe. They thought it was a trap. So long had they lived in the imprisonment that they could not actually conceive and believe of a hope that was so great and so wonderful that they could actually be free. The joy of the ministry, although there be opposition, the joy of the ministry is to try and bring to the hearts of people a message which is far greater than that. It is that we are saying to people, There's forgiveness. There's a resurrection. There's a hope. Everything has been conquered. There is no right. Nobody has the right to accuse you. Your conscience is free. Your sins are forgiven. And ultimately, heaven and eternal life begins and belongs with you. And they won't believe. And you know, sometimes that makes it a whole lot easier to put up with their weaknesses and their failings and their blindness and sometimes the things that they can say and do that will make them reject the gospel. I think if we can keep our minds on this wonderful message of the gospel, I think we can put up with the weaknesses and the failings of people, but only if we keep our minds on the gospel. Amen.